Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 24th of February. Retirement in this country looks very different than it did a generation ago, according to our guest. Americans are working longer overall, and there are also some trends that have offset some of the equalizing effects of the Social Security program that has historically reduced the income gap between rich and poor older Americans. It's a major new research paper from the Brookings Economic Institution Studies. What they found is that higher earning Americans are more likely to work later in life and they are living longer, and it's causing inequality among the elderly to grow. There are big implications for policymakers. We'll talk about what those are during the course of our conversation with Gary Bertless. Gary is in economic studies. He holds the John C. and Nancy D. Whitehead Chair in Economic Studies at the Brookings Institution in Washington, does research on income distribution and poverty, public finance, aging, labor markets, social insurance, and many other issues. He also, before he came to Brookings, served as an economist in the policy and evaluation offices of the U.S. Secretary of Labor and the U.S. Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. Questions you may have about the future of Social Security and specifically what we're talking about probably will be entertaining. Questions about what the best age to retire is, what the benefit structure is like, and what it may be like in the future. We'll be welcoming phone calls for him. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email, if you'd like to message us that way, is talk@wpr.org. We like to read your messages on Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter as well, at K Dunn Show. And before we get rolling on Social Security, I do want to remind you that we are in our winter pledge drive during the course of this hour and for a little while on the air now. And so for you to make a contribution, and I should tell you that this hour we have a dollar for dollar match up to $2,500. We'll tell you about the lovely donor as we continue this hour, but it means double your money, which is really good. So here's how you make your pledge. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And we thank you very much. Gary, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Why don't we start with what's happening with older people working? People are working later in life, aren't they? Many of them?
Yes, there has been a real turnaround compared with 30 years ago when the trend for the previous 100 years had been toward retiring younger and younger. To give you an idea of how far this trend proceeded, in 1910, in the census in that year, the youngest age when less than half of men were at work or looking for a job was 73. So at age 72, over half of men either were working or were looking for work. And the middle of the 1980s, the average man probably stopped looking for work and stopped being employed around age 63. So there was about a 10-year drop in the average age at retirement over 75-year period.
I am amazed people worked that long in life so many years ago.
Well, there were no institutions that automatically provided you income.
No Social Security.
Once you got past 65, and so people had to keep on working, maybe since they were in the arms of their families, if they were lucky and had youngsters to help support them. Maybe they only contributed to the household treasury, but nonetheless, they recorded themselves as being employed or looking for work in the 1910 census.
And now you can't get Social Security full benefits until the age of 66, but your studies are showing that more Americans who are happy with their jobs and probably making a little more money in the workplace are staying longer in the workplace, whereas those who are not making as much money are taking early retirement benefits, which aren't nearly as substantial as waiting until you're 66, right?
Right. Let's be careful, though. Even though it is still the case that people with lower earnings when they were in middle age tend to start claiming Social Security pensions earlier than people who were well paid when they were in middle age. Nonetheless, even lower income Americans are retiring a little bit later. It's just that the trend toward later retirement seems to be smaller, weaker, not so pronounced as it is among better paid and better educated Americans who are really delaying how long they wait before exiting the workforce.
Tell me about the equalizing effects of the Social Security program.
Well, from its inception, Social Security was designed so that people who had low earnings throughout their careers tended to get a bigger Social Security check per dollar that they contributed to the system. So people with very low earnings throughout their careers had about 90% of their earnings replaced by the Social Security program, and that percentage declines the further up in the income distribution you go. So the program helps boost monthly incomes for a lot of people, especially those people who had terrible earnings in their late careers. They may actually see an improvement in their standard of living when they start to claim a Social Security check. So that's the main feature of Social Security that tends to equalize the incomes of retirees. They get much better Social Security checks per dollar that they earned when they were in the middle of their careers if they had low incomes compared with the people who had high incomes.
Mm-hmm. And this delaying retirement, you say these findings now have implications for policymakers who want to shore up Social Security by raising the retirement age. It could have large and unintended, you write, distributional consequences. What are those?
Well, one thing that we found in our research, and it's not the first time that this has been found, is that the improvements in life expectancy have been much bigger for people who are affluent compared with people who are less affluent. Now, a lot of listeners probably think, well, it's always been the case that very affluent people have lived longer than less affluent people. That's true, but many health scientists think that probably the gap between the rich and poor in longevity declined over much of the early 20th century. Lots of improvements in public health and nutrition, in the water supply and so forth, in sewage systems. All of these things translated into better life expectancy for all, but especially for people who had been especially disadvantaged in the 19th century, let's say. But what we discovered is over the last 30 years or so, the gap between the longevity of the rich and poor has gotten wider.
Mm-hmm.
There have been much faster improvements in life expectancy for people at the top of the income distribution, where you're measuring the income distribution in the middle of people's careers, and there have been very slow, even negligible improvements for people near the bottom of the mid-career income distribution.
And I know it's not the focus of this study, but you're in the field. Why is that the case? What do we know about that?
We know that there are a lot of reasons that if you're affluent, you have advantages compared with people who are less affluent. In the old days, going back to the 19th century, you probably had much better nutrition. Your family could afford a better diet. But even nowadays, probably people who are higher income tend to also have higher educational attainment, and they may know more about having healthy diets, good diets. Exercise, smoking, alcohol consumption, many things that are associated either with long lifespans or shorter lifespans are more common in different parts of the income distribution. So smoking has dropped off much more among affluent Americans compared with less affluent Americans. I think rates of obesity are also much lower among affluent compared with less affluent Americans. Exercise, having regular exercise at least a couple of times a week, maybe more common among affluent people. But people also, if they have more money, can afford to find better doctors, better hospitals, and then can afford to go to those hospitals, see those doctors mm-hmm. when their health is in question, maybe be warned earlier on that there are steps that they can take in order to reduce the chances that they will die of a given disease.
What happens if we raise the retirement age?
Well, raising the retirement age, in spite of what you might think, the main effect is to reduce the benefit, the Social Security benefit you can receive at any given age between 62 and 70. Those are the Social Security early entitlement age, and the age 70 is the last age at which your benefit is automatically adjusted upward if you delay receiving a Social Security check. So if we raise the normal retirement age from 66, which is where it is right now, to 67, that's the equivalent of lowering the monthly check for anyone if they retire at exactly the same age they previously planned to at 62, at 65, at 68, at 70. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like a 5 to 7% cut in your monthly benefit check. So it's giving more or less equal benefit cuts to everyone, regardless of the age at which they first claim a Social Security pension. The problem with that, when low-income people are not seeing any improvement in their life expectancy or seeing very little, is that that 5 to 7% cut in the monthly check results in a 5 to 7% cut in their lifetime benefits under mm-hmm. Social Security.
Right.
But for the more affluent people who are seeing rapid gains in life expectancy, that 5 to 7% cut in the monthly Social Security check is offset, at least in part, because they're living longer. They're going to collect benefits for a greater number of months, greater number of years, and that tends to offset the effect that they have a smaller monthly Social Security check, but they're collecting them for more months.
And so the question we will ask next is, what's the best policy to make sure that it is a fair program and that it will be fair for Americans who are yet to be receiving Social Security? We'll ask that question in just a moment. We're looking at major new research from the Brookings Economic Studies Department. Higher earning Americans more likely to work later in life. They are living longer, and it's causing inequality among the elderly to grow. Although we need to put this in a larger picture, America's senior citizens, when taken as a whole, have fared well even throughout the Great Recession, and we'll talk about why that's the case and do all of that with our guest in just one moment. For you to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Gary Burtless is our guest. Gary is chair in economic studies at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. 800-486-8655 is our on-air number. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll return to our conversation about Social Security in just one moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn, you probably know, and joining us for the first time pledging on microphone, the wonderful person behind the scenes, Scotty Myers, is joining me in our studios in Milwaukee. He's pumped up and ready to go. And this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. I know that you count on our network, which is spectacular, for talk about all of these issues. And we really count on you to keep these conversations on the air. So we ask you to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, hello, Kathleen.
Hello, Scotty.
It is a pleasure to join you in
you
the studio.
As well.
This side of the glass. Usually I'm a little behind
I
the
know
scenes.
You are.
But last hour, we heard from 12 of you, new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges. We sincerely appreciate it. But right now, it's time for you to get a little thrifty, get some extra mileage, because we have a dollar-for-dollar match right now, up to $2,500. And this is a generous match from 9XM Leadership Circle member Peggy Hedberg. Peggy, we certainly appreciate it. And it means that she'll match every dollar that you give.
It's the hour to give. This is good. It's her way of encouraging you to support her in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can double your support for this program by giving now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And this is so true because, you know, so many times we end the hour and we hear our guests say, thanks for your great listeners.
Yes, you hear it all the time.
I hear it all the time.
You? I know.
Some of our listeners I know by name.
Right.
I sort of come to rely on them and enjoy their company.
Let's have coffee sometime.
And you know what? They are very thoughtful. They're active listeners. And we certainly thank them for contributing to the quality of WPR programs by providing questions and comments and insights. And we thank you for your financial support. It makes this all possible. So if you haven't pledged yet, do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's up to you to decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge that we get is so appreciated, and you must know that it helps pay for the programs that you enjoy every single day on Wisconsin Public Radio. During this drive, we also have something else special. Ask for your very own, and it's really quite smashing, WPR t-shirt. When you give $10 a month.
Indeed, this is a new spin on a classic. And I'm not going to lie, Kathleen, I bought one for myself. That's how nifty this t-shirt really is, I swear. So it's this gray cotton t-shirt, super comfortable with this really smart logo and design on it. Sort of this circular WPR design. Wear it out, show your pride. And it's printed right here in the Badger State. So ask for your t-shirt right now when you give $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Thanks, Katie. Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and we're asking for your gift during this Double Your Money Hour. It's an important one to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our winter membership drive. Whatever you can give, it's A-OK with us, and we thank you for it. $5 a month, maybe $100 a month, whatever. Thank you.
And one of the great things about radio is that you can turn on it, the radio, every day without an upfront charge and enjoy hours of in-depth conversations. Indeed, there's no radio toll booth. For a lot of people, that's where the relationship ends, though.
I know, it shouldn't. And for a special group of people, the relationship changes over time. They become attached. We have a lot of attached listeners, and they give financial support. They willingly pay for something that many people get for free.
Those are very special people. We call them members, kind of a family, really, a big community here at WPR. So become a member today. Join that family. $5 a month is a great starting point, and you can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love radio. It's the perfect companion. It complements anything else you're doing. If you want to sit on the couch or listen or do the dishes or walk the dog or whatever, there it is. There's your radio.
But then again, you don't have to because you can take it wherever you go. Where you go, we go with you. It's unlike TV or reading.
Right-o.
You can drive while listening to the radio. You can get ready for work. You can clean the house, go for a run, whatever you need to do.
Radio is great, and I have read studies that you remember more on radio than other mediums. So what you hear discussed here will stay in your brain longer, which means that you will become smarter and a contributing member of society, which is a good thing. It doesn't drain your energy. It adds to and enriches everything else that you're doing. Wisconsin Public Radio, some people may not know this, is listener-supported. Your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps keep it all going.
And let me remind you that we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from 9XM Leadership Circle member Peggy Hedberg. Peggy, thank you so much. Your gift right now of $50 turns into $100. Your $100 gift turns into $200. And so down. We're doubling down this hour. Take advantage of this match and double your support with WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about how easy it is to spend a dollar a day or even more on things that are a part of your routine. You buy a cup of cookie. I'm thinking of cookies. Can you buy a cup of cookies?
I suppose they could come in cups. I mean,
you might buy a cup of coffee or a cup of cookies or your phone. Certainly, that's a lot. Or your commute to work.
Yeah, that's right. So consider all the news, the information, all the inspiration that you gather every day from Wisconsin and around the world. And you get this right here at WPR. So make a dollar a day, you know, make that amount. Any contribution you can give right now, we'd certainly appreciate it. Again, and you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support all these great programs that you're hearing right now on the Kathleen Dunn Show. Call right now and make that pledge.
Our dollar for dollar match, Scotty, still in effect. Give now, double your money is what'll happen this hour. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I should probably remind you that this drive, we are offering something very special. I've seen it. I bought one for myself. And it is the very good-looking WPR T-shirt. Show your support wherever you go. Wear our shirt, and you can wear it. If you give $10 a month, it's a one-time gift of $120. That's also an option for you. And you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A new member, thanks to you, says, I was just offered a great job and feel the need to pay it forward. I love WPR.
And Kathleen, I want to read one that I'm seeing here on the screen. James from the beautiful Cottage Grove says, I love WPR. I'm a Kathleen Dunn groupie. You got groupies out there.
I'm a groupie.
Hey, we'll
take it. I don't know what that means. I really don't know what that means yet. It's a good thing.
Yes.
All right.
So show your support for WPR right now. Contribute, and you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
And thank you, Scotty and KP. I want to thank publicly Scotty and KP, and they do a marvelous, marvelous job. We really love working together. We are talking about politics and what's going on in the world all the time, and they're just terrific producers. Go way and above and beyond, you know, an 8-hour workday. They're thinking all the time, and Scotty's been going to debates that have taken place in Milwaukee presidential debates. So it's their work is really extraordinary and so important. Think of all the issues they bring. It's great. So call and say thanks to them. Again, it's 888-202-2552. We're talking about Social Security this hour. Retirement in this country looking very different than it did just a generation ago. We're working longer overall, and there are some key trends that our guest has been highlighting that have implications for policymakers who are looking to shore up Social Security by raising the retirement age. We have a number of people on hold, so we'll go to your phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number, and our guest is Gary Bertles. Gary holds the chair in economic studies at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. He studies income distribution and poverty, public finance, aging, labor markets, and also worked in the U.S. Secretary of Labor office and the U.S. Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare before he came to Brookings. So let's go to phone calls, and we're starting with Jimmy in Valley Junction. Hi, Jimmy.
Afternoon.
Afternoon to you, sir.
I've got a question and maybe an idea or a comment. I understand that if you retire at 62, your benefits are affected by income, and I was wondering if that's just income from wages or is that any income from dividends or stocks or anything. And then at a certain point, I think it's maybe 67, depending on your birthday, that doesn't count again. You won't lose benefits if you have income coming in. And I guess my idea is if you're very wealthy and have a lot of money coming in, what do you need Social Security payments. And I bet you, if you got a couple hundred thousand dollars coming in, what do you need another 20 grand for? And if you would basically tag the benefits or stop the benefits once they get over a certain amount of income a year, that would make the program go a lot further.
Gary, go ahead.
You're right. When you turn 66, you can have income of any kind, your earned income, unearned income, and it doesn't count against your Social Security monthly check. If you're 62, however, there is a retirement test that is still applied, so that if your earnings are above a certain exempt amount, then I think you lose 50 cents in benefits for every dollar in excess of that exempt amount. However, there is a makeup clause there. When you reach the retirement age, the normal retirement age, your Social Security benefit check will be increased to reflect the fact that you lost some benefits when you were between 62 and 65 years old. So there's not really a means test on your benefits when you're between 62 and 65. Instead, your benefit is temporarily reduced, and then it's increased by an even bigger amount when you reach 66. With regard to the means test, well, from the beginning, when Roosevelt and his Congress established the program in the 1930s, it's always been the idea that this is a common retirement program for everybody in the country. Everybody in the country who works for a living should contribute to it. Everybody who has worked for a living long enough and qualifies for benefits should receive the benefits. The benefits are redistributive, as I explained earlier, in favor of people who have low lifetime earnings. But even the richest person, if they contribute to Social Security, gets a benefit, although the benefit is not a very big one, in relationship to the very high wages that they earn. So I think that President Roosevelt thought this was politically a good idea because it would be a more popular program, yes, in the long run if everybody collected benefits, not just low-income people.
Mm-hmm. It's like some of what we're talking about next hour is the credit that's given to people in Germany and other Western European nations, $205 per family per child, I understand, in Germany. But it's given to everybody.
So, it's given to everybody, even people who are upper-income parents. Right.
Thank you, Jimmy, so much for your call. We go to David next in Mount Horeb. Hi, David.
Good afternoon. One of the things we need to understand is last year they did cut Social Security benefits, and my wife and I are employed, and our benefits were cut about $50,000 because of this elimination of the file and suspend rule. That's not exactly why I called, but I think people ought to be aware of that if you are a two-earner household. $50,000 is a lot of money. Second, back in Reagan's administration, one of the things we did is we raised the rate, we raised the retirement age, and we also raised benefits a little bit. One of the things that's happened since then is at that time about 90% of all earned income, and earned income is where all the tax comes from. All Social Security is based on earned income, but at that time about 90% of all earned income was taxed. Today it's 82%. So we've lost 8% of our tax base. In effect, the very wealthy have gobbled up an extra 8% of the income, and that is no longer subject to the Social Security tax. I think that there is an argument to be made to the voters to say, hey, wait a minute, we have cut out 8% of the tax base and given it to the very, very wealthy. And that's part of the reason why we're facing this, because 8% of all the earned income is a lot of money, and that would generate a lot of Social Security taxes to pay the benefits, and we wouldn't have to raise the retirement age to 70 or 75 or 100, which is what we'll be forced to do if we continue to allow the earned income tax base to go down.
Gary.
I think you're right on both scores. The file and suspend, only a real expert will know what that means, but indeed the Congress did eliminate that possibility for people retiring, I think maybe starting in May. And there are one other provision change that affected people starting maybe who are going to reach retirement age in 3 or 4 years. On the other hand, those two provisions that made it easier for people to start collecting benefits either while they were relatively young or alternatively when they were still working full time, I think both of them had been introduced only in the year 2000. So we're not taking away a part of the Social Security benefit package that's always been there. This is a part of the benefit package that has not only been in effect for, I don't know, the last 15 years or so. With regard to the proportion of wages that are covered by Social Security, again, you're absolutely right. The 1983 President Reagan and Congress agreed to a package of changes that increased the tax max, that is, the maximum earnings that are subject to the tax. But incomes at the very top of the earnings distribution have increased much faster than they have at the middle and at the bottom. So consequently, an increasing proportion of all wages are now above the cap. I think increasing the amount of earnings that are subject to the Social Security tax is the most popular single idea toward fixing the Social Security problem, and I think it commands the support of a majority of people, although not the Republicans in Congress, but nonetheless a majority of most voters in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, independents, do support that as a way to close the funding gap for Social Security.
We're going to continue our phone calls. We have many of them coming in, as you would expect we would, when we talk about this program that affects so many people, all Americans, actually, sometime during the course of their lifetimes. Gary Bertless is our guest. We're looking at a Brookings Institution economic studies that examines retirement in the U.S. and looks at some things happening in terms of some people taking retirement early, lower income, and some people who are working beyond the 66 mandatory retirement, and what the distribution of money is doing that's throwing things a wee bit off kilter. It remains true that the people who are older Americans in this society were not nearly as hard hit by the recession because of Social Security, but we're talking about what could happen that could make it less equal, the distribution of money. So we'll continue our phone calls momentarily, but we got this other important thing happening this hour. We are in our winter membership drive, and we want you to be a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll get back to our guest in a moment. Scotty Myers is joining me once again in our studios, and we're encouraging you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your gift in support of programs like this.
Now, according to my sources, Kathleen, we still need to hear from 19 people this hour. So let's get it going. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because 9XM Leadership Circle member Peggy Hedberg will double your dollar if you give. It's her way of inspiring you to support WPR. It's a challenge, and let's answer that challenge. So double your impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2555.
This is the hour to give. This is it, Scotty. And please call and say thank you for all that happens here on a daily basis. Think of all the just pledge for the election, how we're taking you through this presidential election and all the shows we've done and the debates we've gone to so we can give you an eyeball view of what's been happening behind the scenes. You really don't get a show like this anywhere else. We love what we do. I think that I'm speaking for you, Scotty. I hope it's okay.
You sure are.
Yeah, I think you love what you do. And you're very good at it. KP as well. Very good. We just have a great time, and we think what we do is important. So it's possible, pledge by pledge, that you keep us going. Only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Our monthly giving program is becoming more and more popular. In fact, we have more than 19,000 sustainers, and the pool is growing day by day. Welcome to the family, y'all.
You set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or your credit card, and then you sit back and relax. It's easy to get started. Gift of $10 a month, whatever amount is working for you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking that your tax dollars, both federal and state, already support Wisconsin Public Radio, you're right. They do, and we certainly thank you for that.
But contributions from individual listeners make the quality and variety of programs here possible. We are, you are, listener support, the single biggest piece of our budget. You make the difference. And because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs that you listen to. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the host and the guest both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
When we ask for your support, we are speaking to Y-O-U.
That's right. So don't look over your shoulder. Don't look at your neighbor or your friend or your coworker. You're listening right now. You value this program, and you rely on it being here for you day in and day out. You listen to the Kathleen Dunn Show. You listen to other great programs here, whether it's the Joy Cardine Show, Larry Mueller, Chapter a Day, Central Time, and so much more beyond the Ideas Network.
You count on us, and we're counting on you. Listener support is what makes this program possible. You're a listener, so make your pledge right now. And it's double your money this hour. Please don't forget that. Help us reach our goal due to a really nice donation, which Scotty will tell you about in a moment. This hour, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Indeed, that dollar-for-dollar match is in effect right now, and it comes courtesy of 9XM Leadership Circle member Peggy Hedberg. So if I do the math right, your $50, well, turns out that turns into a Franklin. It turns into a full 100.
I think you're good at math.
Let me see if I calculation a 200 turns into
$400.
Look at and you always say you're bad at math. I don't believe you.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay.
all right.
Well, so take advantage of this match right now. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge drives are important times to hear from new members. We have four new members this hour. Thank you so much. And we'll ask if you're a member yet. If you aren't, please take that step right now.
That's right. We still want to hear from about 16 of you this hour before we close shop and go on to the next topic. But we make membership very easy. Any amount that you can give, you know, it really does go a long way. We appreciate it. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make a contribution of, say, $5 a month. We'd love it. We'd certainly appreciate it. And when you do, you can make WPR's programs that you count on every day possible.
Dollar for dollar match still in effect, Scotty, up until the hour. So give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your number, your support, your money will go twice as far.
And not just that, if you contribute right now, we're offering something very special. Pledge now at a $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120, and you will get WPR's fancy T-shirt. It's comfortable, it's stylish, and you can show your support for all the great programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Emily from Stevens Point says, my boyfriend and I have recently started listening to WPR on our way to classes and work. It's improved the quality of our discussions immensely. Ain't that the truth? Think of all the conversations you have off the air because of what you heard on the air. I'd give more if I could, but thank you for all that you do.
And
excellent.
Let me quickly toot your horn, Kathleen, because I know you won't do it. Roger from Racine says, I'm a huge fan of Kathleen Dunn and all of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kathleen's intelligence, passion, and empathy comes through loud and clear. And for all the other people who are thinking of donating, let's see Wisconsin grow, says Roger from Racine.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Roger. Thanks so much. And to pledge again, Scotty, the number?
It is 888-202-2552.
And thank you, everybody. Let's meet our goal this hour. We're going to take more phone calls. We're talking about Social Security this hour of the program and welcoming your phone calls. And we'll be with you again momentarily. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go back to phone calls now. Jackie is our next caller in Richfield. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. My concern is we keep talking about raising the retirement age because people live longer. But for those of us who spend our lives doing physical labor, we might live a little longer, but the age at which we can continue to perform work has not risen. Our knees still wear out,
sure.
Our hips, our backs.
Yeah.
I'm a truck driver. I find it increasingly difficult to pass a physical every year. It's just a matter of fact that just because you live longer doesn't mean you can work longer.
Should Social Security be taking that into account in some way, Gary?
In many countries, they do. So there's a separate schedule of when you can claim, depending on how much physical labor was connected to the job you held throughout your career. For the United States, it's going to be a little bit tricky because we don't really keep track of the occupation people were in. I have thought that one way to deal with this problem is to make the disability insurance program more flexible once people attain age 62. So 62 is the youngest age when you can claim a regular old age benefit, but as you know, you accept a fairly sizable cut. Currently, it's about 25% cut in benefits compared with what you get at the full retirement age. And it strikes me that in the disability insurance program, there are examiners who can make a better assessment of whether the occupations that people have held really do limit how long they can work, which would mean that if they're accepted for disability insurance at that age, then they don't have to accept that 25% cut in benefits at 62.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much, Jackie, for the call. Scott in La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Hi there, Kathleen. I'm a proud member, as you all know.
Thanks, Scott.
Public Radio, and I appreciate this program. Interestingly enough, I happen to be wrapping up a project that I've been working on for the last 2 years volunteering at the Monroe County Vocal History Room. And what I have are ledgers from their old poor farm, it was a working farm, and as well as their asylum. And it's a year-by-year register from 1898 when the poor house there, or poor farm opened there, through the Great Depression. And when I was a kid growing up, you know, you would go out of the room leaving the TV running and the lights on, and my mom and baby said, "You're going to drive me to the poorhouse," and that's all I knew. But since I've been doing this project, I have become very familiar with what life was like in the poorhouse for the people who couldn't work for whatever reason. They were too old, they were too sick, they were too disabled. One way or another, they would wind up in the poorhouse, and it was not a place anybody ever wanted to be. And what wound up putting an end to the poorhouse as an institution was, in fact, Social Security. So anybody who thinks we would be better off without Social Security or privatizing it or anything like that, might want to check out what the alternative, what used to be in this country.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for the call. Gary?
Well, and one thing to bear in mind, too, is when did Social Security get introduced and get passed through Congress? In the Great Depression, and that was a time when lots of the existing private retirement programs had gone bankrupt. They'd gone bankrupt earlier on after the Great Crash, and when lots of people lost their farms, lost their houses, so all their retirement savings disappeared. And if you were 60 or 65, 70 years old, when that occurred to you, there wasn't much chance for you to make up the loss. And I think Social Security was established to protect people against precisely those kinds of disasters, as well as the kind of disasters that ended up with people in the poorhouse back in the late 19th century.
Thank you so much for your call. Gary, is Social Security in trouble?
It doesn't have enough money to pay all the benefits that are promised after 2030. That is unquestionably true. We don't know when exactly the fund will run out of money. But when it does run out of money, the only funds coming in to pay for benefits are going to be those from the payroll tax and a little bit from the income tax, too. But mostly it's going to be from the payroll tax, and those payroll tax revenues will only cover about 79% of the cost of promised benefits. So if the Congress and the President can't agree on anything, and that day comes when the trust fund reserve is exhausted, then benefits will have to basically be reduced by 21%. I don't think that's going to happen. I think before the awful day comes, there will be a resolution of the problem and there'll be some kind of a compromise, just as there was in 1983 when the program also nearly ran out of funds, but a very conservative president, Ronald Reagan, liberal House of Representatives and a Republican-controlled Senate sat down and they agreed on a package that I think commanded widespread public support.
Mm-hmm. So you think we will have a point where Congress and the president will be able to agree on something?
Right. I think we thought the world was a very partisan place back in the early 1980s. We had our first very conservative president, and at least one House of Congress, the House of Representatives, remained in Democratic hands, but those guys managed to agree. I think that the world has become a more partisan place,
yes.
So almost anything proposed by either side gets knocked down by the other side. But I think when push comes to shove, I don't think anybody in Congress or the White House is going to want to see people have to take a 21% benefit cut shortly after 2030.
Yeah, no, it's a popular program. Gary, thank you ever so much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Love to have you on for a longer period of time sometime soon. Gary Burtless, he is chair in economic studies at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C., looking at some trends in Social Security that people in Congress ought to pay attention to keep the program thriving. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Winter Membership Drive. We want to keep bringing you topics like this. Social Security next hour should be really interesting as well. We have so many great shows, and it's your support that makes it happen. Give now. This hour is very important. We really want to make our goal this hour. So help us make the goal. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Right now, we're still looking for 9 more calls of pledge of support. And here's an added incentive. We have a dollar-for-dollar match right now up to $2,500, and that comes courtesy of a 9XM Leadership Circle member, Peggy Hedberg. Peggy, thank you so much. So right now, you'll double every dollar that you give. It's her way of inspiring you to support WPR. Double your impact right now. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying, because we had a number of phone calls, the conversation about Social Security. We've done so many important topics, informative topics. We keep you up with the news, with history. We just cover so many things. It's really an interesting way to spend our lives. Now we ask you to take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that's a good one for you, and then just call 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
During this membership drive, you can get the latest WPR t-shirt, add it to your collection. When you give $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120, your donation supports the programs that you count on, and you can get also this great t-shirt right now.
Right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
So I've been living in Wisconsin for roughly the last 20 years. I came here for school. I think I became a member when I was in my mid-20s. Whenever I could, I would try to send $20 or something, and whatever I could manage at that time. I've always imagined that it would be fun to be a philanthropist, and if I thought something was really a wonderful cause that I could give them $1 million, just, you know, open my checkbook. There are not nearly as many zeros involved, but in a small way, I'm a small-scale philanthropist. It definitely feels like money that's going to a good cause. When I became a sustainer, it felt like there was an additional connection. To me, it's a no-brainer. When I became a sustainer, it just made things that much better. Sort of like the way it felt when I got married a couple of years ago. I loved him a lot, but when I married him, it felt even that much better. My name is Lisa, and I live in Monona, Wisconsin. I really enjoy being a sustainer, and I encourage you to do the same.
Hi, Lisa. Wow. Happy marriage, Lisa.
That's quite the endorsement.
It was great. It was great. Oh, please go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552. We promise to make you happy and we'll be faithful forever. Make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers. Your gift is so appreciative and we really want to reach our goal. We need 8 more callers during the course of this hour.
Indeed, this is a relationship, and maybe you can make a 9XM leadership contribution of about $100 a month or more. Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for the station, and 9XM members are an important part of that picture.
Yeah, we do want to tell you that your listening is just like the other things worth paying for. It makes your life richer. Support what is important to you with your pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And again, Scotty, this hour they should pledge because...
our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support for WPR will go twice as far.
Yes, it will. This pledge drive also, we've got that t-shirt. It's really nice. It's yours when you give $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thank you very much, Scotty. Thanks for producing the hour as
well.
Thank
you, Kathleen.
And thanks to Katie Madsen Cyrus for on-air production here in our downtown Milwaukee studios. We have news coming up from National Public Radio. And secondly, we'll talk about how the government may be important in making you happy.